أن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلوات الله وسلامه عليه. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تبارك وتعالى، وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. After this, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala much for giving us another opportunity to come together in an effort to rehearse the ayat of the Quran and to study some of the ways of his prophet and messenger Abu al-Qasim sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. And we have to speak today, inshallah, in very clear terms because of the nature of the direction that we find the Dawah to Salafiyyah and Mubarakah, the Dawah that has been sent to mankind and to the jinn, the Dawah that is the Haqq that cannot be rejected except by the Mutakabbir or the person who Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala just doesn't want for him a tawfiq. We see that this Dawah, unfortunately, is taken on a soul that is fasid, that is sick. And for purposes of clarification, I think that it's better not to say that it's the Dawah, because the Dawah is from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, because it is the deen. It's the behavior of the people who ascribe and connect themselves to the Dawah of the Salaf. We do not put people outside of this Dawah who do not deserve to be put out of it, but the people who are claiming to be on the way of the Salaf, when we look at our behavior, we see that we are lacking in what we should be implementing. So for anyone who's living in London in particular, he would have noticed that there are a lot of fitnas going on all over the place. Since coming back in less than a week, I've become privy to over 15 serious problems. Problems that are nagging at the core of the foundation of this Dawah. And since the community of Brixton is the community that we thank Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala for being the only community in all of England where we have a physical structure and we have a community, in spite of the fact that those people from the community basically is made up of young brothers and sisters, nonetheless it is a community. It's not a bookstore like Al Hidayah. It is not a place where people come to get lessons like Abu Humaira's house in Croydon. It is not a table of dawah that has been placed out in front of the tube station in Brixton. It is a community. And with that being the case, we expect that there are going to be fitness. But the fitness that we find today, we have to say to ourselves, subhanAllah, what's the cause of all of these problems? One of the greatest ni'mas of al-Islam is that the Abdullah and Amatullah, they will never find themselves in any situation except that the religion of al-Islam has allowed them to put their problems into perspective, irregardless of what the problem is. If the sister is experiencing some serious problems with her husband, she looks at herself and she compares her condition to someone else and she says, at least I'm not that bad, I have to be patient. If a brother likewise finds that he doesn't have enough money to take care of his needs and his affairs. He says to himself, maybe the decrease in my money has come as a result of my ma'asiyah to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So let me tighten up the screws of ibadah in the hopes that Allah is going to increase my sustenance. We look at those people who are below us as opposed to those people who are over us. When we find that we have fitness, we say, this is a way in which Allah is testing my iman, so let me be patient and let me persevere. So he's putting his condition and his affairs in perspective. Likewise, the fitness that we see going on, we have to put them in perspective. And one of the ways that we can do that is to realize that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has foretold and prophesied the times that we're living in right now, and that he said in an authentic hadith that's been collected by an Imam Muslim on the authority of Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, badiru bil a'mal fitnan ka qit' al-layl al-muzlim yusbihu ar-rajulu mu'mina wa yumsi kafira aw yumsi ar-rajulu mu'mina wa yusbihu kafira yubi'u dinahu bi aradin min ad-dunya. The Prophet ﷺ said to us, verily you people need to hurry up and increase yourselves in doing good deeds, because the time of fitna is fastly approaching you. The fitna that is like a dark night, where a man will wake up in the morning as a believer and go to sleep at night as a kafir. Or he'll go to sleep at night as a believer and wake up morning as a kafir. You will find one of them selling his deen for some small portion of the dunya. So when we look at the fitna now, we find that all of them, without an exception, are the result of people selling their deen for miserable prices. I have a personal problem with this brother. Personal. Nothing in my aqidah, nothing in my minhaj, nothing concerning my family or his family. It's all about personality. But as a result of that, I give up my deen by threatening to kill him. By threatening to kill him and to spill his blood. So I sell my deen for a miserable price. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and yet another hadith in telling us about these times in which we live in, he said sallallahu alaihi wasallam, al-ibadatu fil haraj ka hijratin ilayya. Making ibadah, worshiping Allah tabarak wa ta'ala during the time of fitna is like making hijrah to me. You all know that when the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, when he went to Medina and he raised the flag of hijrah, those people who Allah blessed with true iman, they made the ultimate sacrifice and they made hijrah without any hesitation, leaving behind their money, their family, leaving behind their relatives. It didn't make a difference. They were going to make hijrah to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And those who make hijrah to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah says, "Hisabuhum ala Allah." Their reward is with Allah. So now this is the time of fitna. This is the time of haraj. Instead of the Muslim brother or sister sitting and complaining and always dreaming, I'm going to make hijrah to Kuwait, I'm going to make hijrah to Medina, I'm going to make hijrah to Mecca, as soon as I get my degree, as soon as I get enough money. And we hear this, a year, 2 years, 3 years. And he says, my deen has been affected, I can't make ibadah, I'm having so many problems, I have to make hijrah, hijrah is the answer. And he's still doing the same thing. The Prophet has told us, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that for the person to increase his ibadah now, in the time of hijrah, in the time of fitna, is like making hijrah to the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So therefore, with this being the case, we wanted to come here today, brothers and sisters, and share with you something that we shared with the people last night, because Abu Tasneem Dawood Adib was scheduled to come here to talk. But because we're living in the times of fitna, he wasn't able to do so. Fitna because of aqidah? Because of the minhaj? Nah. Personality. So the brother comes to the country for the first time, and he doesn't come to Brixton Masjid. And we see the faces of the people who came to listen to the brother. I'm not saying anyone is at fault, but I'm saying that the people of this dawah need to start looking at themselves. How the hell are you going to say to the people who come to listen to someone to get benefit from them, no, we're not going to give you the brother? How are you going to say that? With which right? I'm not blaming anyone. As a result of that, the brothers told me to come and to take his place. So I said, okay, I'll share with the people what I shared with the people just recently, because in it, inshallah, is some benefit for this community. Since the ibadah in the time of fitna is like making hijrah to Abu Qasim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we would like to today, inshallah, encourage you brothers to start to think about a certain ibadah that is lacking in our lives. And because of the absence of this form of ibadah, the fitna is given the opportunity to perpetuate and to continue. And that's the ibadah that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has brought to us, which is called al-muhabba or al-hub fillah. Al-hub fillah. Akhi, Abdul Raqib, what does that mean? Which means to love for Allah. The love of Allah. To love for Allah's sake. This issue, brothers and sisters, is an issue that many people are not given any consideration. In spite of the fact that when we read the Quran and we read the Sunnah, we find that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala in this deen, He has made this issue an extremely exalted issue. And as a result of that, the people who are the companions of this issue, they will get a tremendous reward from Allah in this life as well as the next life, as you'll see inshallah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. The proof that this is one of the greatest forms of ibadah can be found in the authentic hadith that has been collected by Al-Imam Al-Bukhari and the authority of Abu Huraira, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam said, إِنَّ مِنْ عِبَادِ اللَّهِ عِبَادًا لَيْسُ بِأَنْبِيَاءِ يَغْضُطُهُمَ الْأَنْبِيَاءُ وَالشُّهَدَاءُ فقال الصحابة يا رسول الله من هؤلاء حتى نحبهم قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم هم قوم تحابوا في الله من غير أرحام ولا أنساب تَحَابُوا بِنُورٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وُجُوهُهُم مِّن نُورٍ وَهُمْ عَلَى مَنَابِرَ مِّن نُورٍ لَا يَخَافُونَ إِذَا خَافَ النَّاسِ وَلَا يَحْزِنُونَ إِذَا حَزِنَ النَّاسِ. The Prophet ﷺ said, verily, there are some of the servants of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala who are not prophets, nor are they messengers. But the prophets of Allah and the people who died in jihad are jealous of these people. The prophets who Allah Ta'ala has sent to the earth, and those people who were killed, fi sabilillah, those people who when they are killed in jihad, they go straight to Jannah without any reckoning. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the Anbiya and these people are jealous of these servants. The companion said, tell us who these people are, in the hopes that we will begin to love them. The Prophet ﷺ said, they are a people who, they love one another for Allah's sake. And not because they are related to one another, and not because they are from the same lineage. Their faces will have light, and they will be our minbars made of light in Jannah. And when the people are afraid, they will not be afraid. And when the people are sad, they will not be sad. And then Allah's Prophet ﷺ began to read the ayat from the Quran, Ala inna awliya Allah la khawfun alayhim wa la hum yahzanun. Verily, the awliya of Allah will not be afraid, nor will they be sad. So this hadith by itself is enough to show us the importance of this form of ibadah that we're encouraging the people to start to try to attain in the time of fitna, so that we can cut the fitna out, or at least minimize it. Now the question is, this hub or this love, what is it? Because as you all know, for every person who's sitting in this masjid, if you were to ask them their interpretation of any particular thing, for as many people as we have, we'll get different interpretations. Loving for Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, according to the Quran and the Sunnah, is that a person loves a particular thing because Allah loves that thing, or because the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam loves that thing. And the opposite of that is that he hates the thing because Allah hates it, and because the Prophet hates it sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Not because it's something that you love personally or you hate personally. I've taken this brother as an enemy because of a personal conflict that I have. Not because he's disobedient to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. It's personal. I hate him because he comes from Jamaica, or because he's in South London, as the kuffar say. Because you're from South London and he's from East London, there's some competition between you. So I hate the people in Brixton. Anyone and everything in Brixton, I hate them because of something that happened to me 5 years ago. I'm their enemy. This is not love for Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And this is not hating for Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. This is love and hate based upon your nafs. Another important point, brothers and sisters, is that we have to know that there's a difference between loving for Allah and al-wala wal-bara. They're not the same thing. Al-wala and bara, meaning your allegiance and your connection. And al-bara, you're being free in your enmity towards the kuffar. There's a difference between the two. And there are many differences. Some of the more apparent and most important differences that al-wala is the foundation. Al-wala is more important than the love. Al-wala is the foundation, and the love comes as a result of the wala, and it's not vice versa. Another difference is that al-wala is only for the believers. You cannot have allegiance to the kuffar under any circumstances. Even if you have a contract with the kuffar that you protect them in the Muslim land, there's no wala to those people. We have contracts, but no wala. Allah tells us about that. وَمَنْ يَتَوَلَّهُمْ فَهُوَ مِنْهُمْ. Whoever takes them as friends and protectors, awliya, he's from them. There is no wala towards the kuffar. But there is love for the kafir. We don't love the kufr of the kafir, or the shirk of the kafir. But you can love your mother who's a non-Muslim. Even though we have some of the Luka A's brothers who have a lot of energy, that when they accept Islam, they make their mothers and fathers enemies to them, even though their mother and fathers are not treating them bad. You can love your mother and father who are non-Muslims according to the Quran and the Sunnah. You don't love their kufr and shirk, but you can love them because, as we said 2 weeks ago in the khutbah, the rights of the parents over the child. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam cried, as you all know, when he was informed that his mother could not be prayed for.
He was sad that his father died on kufr and shirk. His uncle Abu Talib, when he died on kufr, Allah Ta'ala revealed the saying, إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءَ. O Muhammad, you do not guide those who you love. Meaning who? Abu Talib. Clearly, you do not guide those who you love. A kafir, Abu Talib. But Allah guides those who He chooses. So we can love the Muslims and the kuffar, but our wala is only to the Muslims. Now we would like to talk very briefly, Ikhwan, about some of the virtues of this loving for Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala's sake. And concerning this issue, there are so many ayat and so many ahadith that we can talk about, but for the purpose of saving time, because we're going to pray pretty soon, we're going to make this mukhtasar. And one of the clearest ayat that show us the virtues of this issue is the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, سَبْعَةٌ يَذِلُّهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي ذِلِّهِ يَوْمَ لَا ذِلَّ إِلَّا ذِلُّهُ وَذَكَرَ مِنْهُمْ رَجُلَانْ تَهَابَ فِي اللَّهِ اجْتَمَعَ عَلَيْهِ وَتَفَرَّقَ عَلَيْهِ. There will be seven people that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah will shade them in His shade on the day that there will be no shade. Unfortunately, there was a time that when we accepted al-Islam, many of us used to have a serious desire to go to paradise and to stay away from being of the people of the hellfire. That whenever we read ayats that talked about Jannah and ayats that talked about the punishment of the grave, when we used to read and hear these things, we would become either happy or sad. But now, after being in Islam for so long and so many, you know, problems that we've seen, when we hear a hadith like this, that's all it is. Words, hadith. Seven people Allah will shade in His shade the day that there will be no shade. And we do not make a conscious effort to try to be at least from one of them. From those people, the Prophet ﷺ said, the two men who love one another only for Allah's sake, solely for Allah, they come together on that love and they part on that love. As I sit here, I come to know that there are brothers who have come from as far as Birmingham. And one of those brothers called me earlier in the morning to ask me about the schedule of today. So I know that these brothers decided to come here from Birmingham early in the morning. If any of them had decided to say to himself, I'm going to go to Brixton Masjid, so I'm going to remember the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he said, whoever leaves his house to go to the masjid, for every right step that he takes, a good deed will be written for him, and for every left step that he takes, a sin that he committed will be taken off of him. He would realize, wow, this is a great thing going to Brixton today. And we make analogy or qiyas from that, depending on where you come from. But there's something that I would like to bring to your attention, and that is that everyone who's sitting in this masjid, take a minute to think about the people who you came here today with, whether it's your wife or your husband or your brother. And you answer the question within yourself, knowing the importance of loving for Allah only. Have you chosen consciously to be that brother's companion today because you love him only for Allah, or because he had a car and you had an opportunity to get a free ride to the masjid? Or is it something that we're not thinking about? You answer that question within yourself. Seven people that Allah will shade on the day that there will be no shade from them, two men who love each other for Allah's sake. They come together on that love and they part on that love, a virtue love, the issue of loving for Allah. Another important virtue is another authentic hadith that you're all aware of that's been collected by Al-Imam Al-Nasa'i as well as Al-Imam Ahmed on the authority of Anas ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ثَلَاثٌ مَنْ كُنَّ فِيهِ وَجَدَ حَلَاوَةَ الْإِيمَانِ أَنْ يَكُونَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَحَبَّ إِلَيْهِ مِمَّا سِوَاهِمَا وَأَنْ يُحِبُّ الرَّجُلُ وَلَا يُحِبُّهُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ وَأَنْ يَكْرَهَ أَنْ يَعُودُ فِي الْكُفْرِ بَعْدَ إِذْ أَنْقَذَهُ اللَّهُ مِنْهُ كَمَا يَكْرَهُ أَنْ يُقْذَفُ فِي النَّارِ. There are three things that if a man finds these things in himself, he will surely taste the sweetness of Iman. That Iman, again, that when we became Muslims, you were ready to fight the whole world because you knew no one can harm me except what Allah has written, and no one can benefit me except with that which Allah has written. That sweetness of Iman, that when we used to read one ayah and memorize it after Fajr, we felt like we really did something in al-Islam. That Iman, the sweetness that caused a lot of us to contemplate going to Afghanistan to make jihad and to give up our lives for the deen. But now, after 3 years, 4 years, 5 years in al-Islam, we're saying to ourselves, Hijra, I gotta make Hijra. It's a problem staying here. My Iman is affected. I just don't feel as pious as I used to. I'm hearing the tapes, I'm meeting the shuyukh, but I'm the same ignorant, irreligious person that I was yesterday, after I went, or before I went to the lesson. The Prophet ﷺ said three things. Anyone who finds these three things within himself, he will taste the sweetness of Iman. The first thing is that Allah and His Messenger become more beloved to that person than anything else. The second thing, that he loves a man, and he only loves the man for Allah alone. The third thing, that the man hates to go back into kufr after Allah has saved him from kufr, just as he hates to be thrown into the hellfire. Another one of those hadith to show us the virtue of loving for Allah's sake. That the one who does it has an opportunity to be blessed with being a person who tastes the sweetness of Iman. And you all know, I'm sure you've tasted it. That state of mind and being where you feel, I have no problems, irregardless of what's taking place in my life. Now, the sister who's having a problem with her husband, he doesn't understand her. He doesn't spend time with her. He can't communicate with her. She feels frustrated. She's upset all the time. If she had that sweetness of Iman, she would be able to put it in perspective. And she would be able to say, Ana amatullah. Allah created me for His ibadah. I'm responsible for myself. You do what you want to do, but I know yawm al-qiyamah, you're going to be questioned for what you've done, and I'm going to be questioned. But her behavior, that she calls him and she screams on the telephone, they're fighting, this is an indication that she's holding on other than what Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has made for in the deen. And make analogy on that in your lives. Those bad feelings, the uneasiness that we feel in our lives, is because we don't have the sweetness of Iman. Another point that shows us the virtue of loving for Allah tabarak wa ta'ala's sake is the hadith of Abu Umama that's been collected by Imam Abu Dawood rahmatullahi alayhi wa radiyallahu ta'ala and as-sahaba. Abu Umama said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, من أحب لله وأبغض لله وأعطى لله ومنع لله فَقَدْ اسْتَكْمَلَ دِينُهُ. Whoever loves for Allah and he hates for Allah and he gives for Allah and he prevents from giving from Allah for Allah, this person, his iman is complete. The person who can reach that level, that he loves people and things for Allah's sake, and he hates people and things for Allah's sake, he gives for Allah's sake, and sometimes he holds back for Allah's sake, he has a daughter, or he's the wali of a sister, a man comes to marry her, and he knows that this man is not a good man, so he prevents for Allah's sake, not because he has a personal problem with that brother. For Allah's sake, you were not good for her deen. So he makes ibadah by saying no. No. And he gets close to Allah by preventing. The other Muslim who's standing there, Brixton, day in and day out, begging for the travel passes of the passenger. He takes the travel pass and he goes up to the 7-Eleven and he gets some tenant's beer. Every day we see him. When he comes and he begs us like a dog, we say, "La, we're not giving you for Allah's sake. You're giving a bad name to Islam. And don't say to me, Assalamu alaikum. I'm embarrassed to know you." Don't give it to him. It's ibadah. Give him some dawah instead. Give him some dawah for Allah's sake. Don't talk to the man condescendingly. "I'm better than you. I'm Salafi. You in the hellfire. You a bum. What you begging for?" This hadith again shows us the importance of loving for Allah tabarak wa ta'ala's sake. For verily, the person who has been blessed with this, his iman is complete, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam has explained. Now we want to share with you brothers a very important issue, and that is an issue that shows us that loving for Allah's sake as a community is concerned is extremely important. And that the Prophet ﷺ told us in an authentic hadith that's been collected by Al-Imam Ahmed on the authority of Abu Umama Al-Bajali. He said that the Prophet ﷺ said, لَتُنْقِدَنَّ عُرُ الْإِسْلَامِ عُرْوَةً عُرْوَةً فَكُلَّمَا انْتَقَدَتْ عُرْوَةٌ تَشَبَّثَ النَّاسُ بِالَّتِي تَلِيهَا وَأَوَّلَهُنَّ نَقْدًا الْحُكُمْ وَآخِرُهُنَّ الصَّلَاةِ. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, verily, the institutions of Al-Islam are going to be lost one by one. The institutions of Islam, like the beard. The institution of Al-Islam, like the hijab and the niqab. The institutions of Al-Islam, like visiting one another for Allah's sake. The institutions of Al-Islam, like giving nasiha. The institutions of Al-Islam, like learning beneficial knowledge. The institutions of Al-Islam, there are many. He said that they're going to be lost one by one. And every time one institution is lost, the people are going to try to grab and hold on to the institution that follows it. And the first institution of Al-Islam that the people are going to lose will be judging by what Allah revealed, Al-Hukum. Based upon this hadith, anytime we see the Muslim leaders judging by other than what Allah has revealed, whether it's democracy, whether it's communism, socialism, their opinion, whatever it is, when we hear this hadith, we are obligated to say that's haram. And wallahi, we say that's haram. And that's kufr. Wallahi, we say that that's kufr. But we are not obligated to say so and so is a kafir. So and so is a kafir. This hadith clearly shows us to judge by other than what Allah reveals is haram. And he said the last institution that's going to be lost will be the salah. So, ikhwan, between these two institutions, the institution of judging by what Allah revealed and the institution of making salah, between these two is the institution of loving for Allah's sake and hating for Allah's sake. And the Arabic word that the Prophet used, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was the word urwa. which means an institution. It literally means a button. But obviously, when you connect your collar, it holds together that which you're wearing. Likewise, those institutions hold your deen together. So the proof that loving for Allah's sake is an institution in Islam is the hadith that the Prophet ﷺ said, "Inna awthaq urul Islam al-hubbu fillah wal-bughd fillah." He said the greatest and strongest institution of Islam is loving for Allah's sake and hating for Allah's sake. Finally, the question that normally comes to the minds of the people is, okay, we heard everything that you said, but now we wanted to know, how do we go about learning to implement this institution of Al-Islam amongst ourselves? We know that the people come to the lessons and the people don't write. The majority of them, they don't write. So the information most of the time goes over the heads of the majority of the people. But at this time, we want you brothers to pay attention, inshallah ta'ala, so that we can begin to practice this. And in giving marriage, in giving the ways in which we can increase our love for Allah, our love for one another for Allah's sake, what we want to do is we want to have some class participation or some masjid participation as we normally do. And at this time, whenever the people know that they're going to be asked questions, they start fidgeting in their places. Some of them get up and they walk down the stairs and they disappear like some of our brothers over there. So we're going to ask you brothers to participate and to tell us from amongst yourselves some of the ways that we can go about increasing our love for one another for Allah's sake. Abdul Raqib at Croydon. One of the ways that we can go about increasing our love for one another is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said when he was sitting with a man, and that man looked at his brother who walked by and he said, "Oh Messenger of Allah, I love that man." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Did you tell him that?" He said, "No." He said sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Ida ahabba ahadukum akhahu falyunabbih lahu fa innahu khayrun fil ilfa wa abqa fi sadqa." Hakadha al-kalima fi sadqa. He said, "If any of you loves a man, then let him tell that man. For verily, by you telling him, it will cause your love to be more enduring and it will make for more compatibility between you." So if you love the man, you should tell the man according to the sunnah. Why? It will cause your love to be enduring as well as it will make the compatibility between you two, according to the Prophet ﷺ, more stable. Number two, the brother over there, Abdul Haq. Spreading the salams, and the brother added sincerely, which is extremely important, because some of us, when we meet one another, we say assalamu alaikum. But just before he met the brother, he was eating his flesh. If you really wanted salam, ami akhi, why were you backbiting me just to finish a few minutes ago? So you backbited me. Also, you're dhul wajhain. You're the one with two faces. Behind my back, you say one thing. In front of my face, you say another thing. And the Prophet ﷺ said, "La'natullahi ala dhul wajhain." May the curse of Allah be upon the one with the two faces. Assalamu alaikum. So the Prophet ﷺ said concerning this issue, and this is extremely important, he said, "La tadkhuluna jannah hatta tu'minu ولا تؤمنون حتى تحابوا أفلا أدلكم على شيء إن فعلتموه تحاببتم قالوا بلى يا رسول الله قال افشوا السلام بينكم. You people will never enter into paradise until you believe. And you will never obtain Iman until you begin to love one another. Shall I not tell you about the thing that if you were to do it, it will cause you to love one another? They said, oh, please tell us, O Messenger of Allah. He said, spread salams between yourselves. Which shows us why a shaitan can come between the hearts of two brothers who in fact really love one another. There was a time that they loved one another. Or maybe they didn't. This brother doesn't like that for whatever reason. So shaitan comes between them and shaitan says, don't give him salam. Don't give him salam. If you really wanted to solve the problem, one of the things you should do is begin to say to the brother, assalamu alaikum. For that reason, we have many of the Sahabas, like Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He used to go to the souq, the marketplace, the place that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna ahabba biladil Allah masajiduha, wa inna abghab biladil Allah aswaquha." The Prophet said, "The best place, the most beloved place to Allah are the masjids, and the worst, most disliked and hated places to Allah is the souq." Abu Huraira used to go to this hated place just for the purpose of saying to the Muslims, assalamu alaikum, assalamu alaikum, assalamu alaikum, assalamu alaikum, and come back to his house, assalamu alaikum, assalamu alaikum. For that reason, the Prophet told us, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in teaching us, that the salam is the haqq of the Muslim over the other Muslim. It's a right that he has. That the salam, look how he's teaching us how to be united. He's not coming talking about some manufactured unification. We're going to be united with a Sufi, with a Tablighi, with the Ikhwani, with this and that. Yalla, yalla, ittihad, ittihad. Let's be united so we can beat up the kuffar. United on what? And you're praying to the sheikh in the grave. How are we going to be united? Nah, the Prophet was teaching us true unification through love by saying it's the right that a Muslim has over another Muslim. By telling us when a man comes into the room, he should give salam. And when he leaves, he should give salam. And the first one is not more important than the second one. How the Prophet taught us, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as-salam qabla al-kalam. If a man doesn't give you any salam, don't talk to him. The salam before the speech. As-salam qabla al-kalam. So the Muslim today, as we saw yesterday, he comes to his Muslim brother and he begins to talk about issues of the dunya before giving the brother salam. So the brother, in trying to teach him, he didn't answer. The brother, because of his ignorance of this hadith, he became extremely upset for the brother not talking to him. And so he said to the brother, I hate you for Allah's sake. The brother, who didn't give salams, said to this brother, I hate you for Allah's sake, because you're a person of fitna, and walked away. As-salam qabla al-kalam. Another example of how we can increase the love between ourselves. Tafadda. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Zuru ba'dakum al-ba'd al-faynata ba'd al-fayna fa'innaha tuzidu fil-mahabba. Visit one another from time to time, for verily the visitation will cause the love to be increased amongst you. Not to visit all the time, from time to time. So we said, spreading the salam. We said, what else? Visitation. What else? To tell them that you love them. Someone else give us another one. Giving gifts. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us tahadu tahabu. Yalla imshu ya shabab. Kulukum. Yalla imshu. Assalamu alaikum. Yalla imshu. Kulukum. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, give gifts, and as a result of that, you will love one another. Give gifts according to your means. Give gifts of your time, of your knowledge, from your money, whatever you have. You have to be creative. And I suggest and advise that you brothers give the gift of the book of our Sheikh Abu Usama Salim ibn Eid al-Hilali, may Allah preserve him, who authored the book Love and Hate According to the Quran and the Sunnah. Many of you are possessors of many of the books that Al-Hidayah is putting out, that Abu Talha is translating, but we're not reading the books. We have them in our houses, and they are no doubt a beautification for our bookshelves, but we're not reading them. How many people have read the book, The Prayer and Its Importance in Al-Islam by Hussein Al-Awayisha? An extremely important book for the one who really wants to hold on to the institution and the pillar of Al-Islam, the Salah. The Explanation of the Creed by Al-Imam Al-Babahari. How many people have read the book? Sifat al-Salat al-Nabi by Al-Imam Al-Albani. How many people have read these books? These books are extremely important. And look at the service that the people of the Dawah to Salafiyah Al-Mubarakah are offering to the English-speaking people. There was a time when I came into Islam, all we had was Yusuf Ali, Dhul Qarnayn, and Alexander the Great, the homosexual. A lot of nonsense. Books translated to us from Urdu into English with a lot of nonsense about what Islam is saying. So therefore, when we used to recite hadith, we would talk about a lot of wild and crazy things. The Prophet said this and he said that, and it has nothing to do with Al-Islam. I was in Croydon Masjid today, and we prayed Salatul Dhuhr there, and I went downstairs to make wudu. I saw a sign that said, after drinking water, you should say, Alhamdulillah alladhi saqani hadha walam yaj'alahu milhan ujaja. He said, you should say after drinking the water, praise be to Allah who has given me this to drink, and he has made it sweet and pure, and he didn't make it salty because of my sins. Where you get that from? Isn't the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ enough for you? So look at the books that the brothers are producing for us. And wallahi, if there was an English speaking brother that I was jealous of, it would no doubt be Abu Talha Daoud Burbank. So we say to the brothers in Birmingham and from Birmingham, when you brothers are confronted with fitnas up there, and Abu Anis is not on the scene, and the other Kibar Tulab al-Ilm, you have to go to Abu Talha and say to Abu Talha, what's your opinion Abu Talha? Because the brother alhamdulillah has a good grasp and understanding of the deen, and Allah knows best. So let us begin to read these books, brothers and sisters, that we have in our libraries. Give gifts and love one another. Anyone want to offer any other suggestions? What can we do? Ismail Hamza. To make dua for one another. And that comes under not a hadith as such, make dua, but it comes under another ayat that's general. And that is the statement of Allah Ta'ala when he said in the Quran, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ سَيَجْعَلَ لَهُمُ الرَّحْمَنُ وُدَّا. Verily those people who believe and they do righteous deeds, Ar-Rahman is going to make between them love. Those people who have iman, the proper aqidah, the proper understanding of Al-Islam, and they do righteous deeds. They make dua, they make salah, they give sadaqah, they order with what's right, they prohibit what's wrong. Those people who do that, Allah Ar-Rahman is going to put between their hearts love. So with the obedience of Allah Ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah Ta'ala will put between our hearts love as a community. And in closing, Ikhwan, I would just like to give one advice, and that is similar to the advice of Al-Imam Abu Abdullah Al-Shafi'i Rahmatullahi Alayhi. When Al-Imam Al-Shafi'i said to the people concerning the virtues and the importance of Suratul Asr, he said, لو تدبر الناس هذه سورة لكفتهم. If the people would only contemplate and consider the meanings of this surah, it would be enough for them. Obviously, the Imam, Rahmatullahi Alayhi, he did not mean by that statement that Suratul Asr is enough for us. We don't need any of the other Quran. La, that would be a statement of kufr. With Suratul Asr, how do we know about As-Salah? How do we know how to make Hajj and Umrah? How do we know how to get married and divorced? We don't know about these things. But what he was trying to get you to think about was the importance of the surah. If the people only knew its importance, it would be enough for them. Similar to that statement, I say to you brothers, concerning a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Many of us are keen on learning a lot of hadith. Some of the brothers were memorizing Asrul Sunnah to Al-Imam Ahmed, and this is a beautiful thing. We're trying to memorize the statements of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala in the Quran. Some of us are memorizing Khutbat al-Haja, the Dua al-Istikhara, and other than that, it's extremely important. But I say unto you in this advice, that if the people only paid attention to one hadith, it would be enough for us. And that's the hadith in 40 hadith on the authority of Anas ibn Malik. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, La yu'minu ahadukum hatta yuhibba li akhihi ma yuhibbu li nafsihi. If we only practice this hadith, wallahi, the fitna, if it doesn't dissipate, it would be tremendously minimized. He said that none of you truly believe until he loved for his brother that which he loves for himself. I do not love for you to backbite me, so I shouldn't backbite you. I do not love that you should steal my money, so I shouldn't steal your money. I do not love that you should hate me for some dunya reason. Likewise, I shouldn't hate you for some dunya reason. None of you truly believes until he loves for his brother what he loves for himself. So we encourage the brothers as well as the sisters to keep this hadith in mind in your everyday dealing. Before saying what you're going to say and before doing what you're about to do, say to yourself, how would I like it to be done to me? As what happened when the young man came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he said, O Messenger of Allah, i'zin li an azniya, give me the permission to make zina. In Jahiliyyah, I was making zina, no one stopped me. Now I'm unmarried, I don't have money to get married, and I still feel what I feel. Give me the permission to make zina. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, do you love it to be done to your mother? A'udhu billah. Do you love it to be done to your sister? Do you love it to be done to your aunt? He said, no. He said, likewise, the people don't love it to be done to them. And he touched him in his breast and he made dua to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to give him sabr. One of the messages of that hadith, on top of the rahmah that he had and giving dawah to the people, one of the important messages is that as you want to be done, you want to be treated, that's how you should treat others. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ said to us in authentic hadith, Kama yabna Adam ahbab man shit fa innaka mufariqu wasna' ma shit fa innaka mulaqih wa kama tudinu tudan. O sons of Adam, love whoever you want to love. For Allah, for whatever. Love whoever you want to love. For verily you're going to part from that person. And some of the people who we love, and we had taken them as friends, that friendship is not going to benefit us يوم القيامة. As Allah told us, الأخل يومئذ بعضهم لبعض أدو إلا متقين. On that day, the friendship, one to another, their friendship, is going to be a cause of their sorrow, except for the muttaqeen, the righteous. Love whoever you want to love, for verily you're going to part. You're going to die, he's going to die. And do whatever you want to do. Smoke crack, smoke ganja, make zina, do whatever you want to do. For verily you're going to meet him. And as you do to the people, it will be done back unto you, either in this life or the next life. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the good in this life and in the next life, and to protect us, as the Prophet used to say, from the evil of our own souls and not our enemies, and from the evil actions and results of our own soul and not the enemy. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.